Okay. Welcome to episode 31 of Family Time Q&A podcast, and I have with me the wonderful, lovely...
Olivia. Yeah. I almost said I'm 31, but I'm not 31.
Oh.
I'm older than that.
Forever 31.
I'm in denial, I guess.
Oh, it's okay. Well, it's not like that kid who came up to me the other day and said, "Hey, when you fought in World War I."
Yes.
Man,
that's like, pretty good.
Get out of here, kid.
What was it like in World War I?
I don't know. I wasn't born yet.
Phoebe knows.
Phoebe? Yeah, because her past life.
Yeah.
We are young. Wait, no. You are young.
You messed it up.
I messed it up.
I told you not to and you did it
anyway. I did it anyway and I messed it up. Okay. So for those who are new to the podcast, this is where I have an actual family member on the podcast with me. And we ask each other some real questions. And hopefully you find some insights out of that, or you have something you'd like to share. And you can always leave a comment on the blog, therealjerrydugan.com, or shoot us an email at jerrysdugan@gmail.com. So how you been, my love?
Good, good. I'm not as excited as I was 3 weeks ago, but
oh, yeah.
I think it's partly because I haven't slept for 3 weeks.
I know, you're so funny.
I was so worked up from Nutcracker auditions and hearing about the cast list that I literally did not sleep it's been like 4 weeks actually, because I didn't sleep the whole week leading up to auditions because I was so nervous / excited about it. And then I didn't sleep the whole, I think it was 20 days until the cast list came out. I literally woke up every single night or morning at like 3, 4, 5 in the morning with my heart beating. And I was just so nervous about it. And I need to not worry about that next year because, you know, I talked about last time that I was on that Emma could be her first year with a point role. And she's been working towards, you know, her point shoes. She got them in this past January. So 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a really big deal for these little girls that are in Emma's group because they can be a Polly Chanel and this is their first point role in the Nutcracker. They get to be in the finale. They get to be in the program, their picture. And, you know, it's just a really big year. But the problem with that is that there are only 8 Polly Chanel slots. There's only been 8. There will only ever be 8 because they have to fit underneath a big hoop skirt. And so that was Emma's dream. Everybody, all the girls in her class, that was their dream. And the cast list came out this past Tuesday and Emma and I rushed to the studio. We were so excited. We were like dying with excitement. And we got to the studio and we ran to the cast list and both her and I looked at we saw Polly Chanel's, the title first, and I looked real fast and I was like, oh, I don't see Emma's name. And I looked again. And I was like, I don't see Emma's name. Oh, my goodness. So then she could also be a rat princess or a soldier. Rat princess is something that she wanted the least. Her and I both thought that she would never, ever get rat princess because they have to take the rat king off. And he's like a grown man. He's not a kid, a little boy dancer, a grown man. And so I was like, well, Emma's too little. She can't carry a grown man off. Not even looking at rat princess. So I looked at
Red Soldier.
Yeah, Red Soldier, and her name wasn't there. And I was like, okay, no Polly Chanel, no Red Soldier. I looked at Chinese, and that's the level above Emma's. But I was like, well, maybe she's good enough. They moved her to Chinese.
Why not?
But it wasn't there. And I was like, Emma's not cast in the Nutcracker this year. And so I looked again, Polly Chanel, nope. Red Soldier, nope. Chinese, nope. I looked at Party Girl, like maybe they recast her as a Party Girl.
And put her back to that role from a couple years back.
Yeah, and no, she wasn't a Party Girl. And I was like, well, where is she? And then I looked and I saw her name under Rat Princess. And I knew that when Emma saw that, she was going to be completely devastated.
And she was.
And she was. Oh my gosh. It broke my heart because in her mind, she was like 100% sure that she was Polly Chanel. But she's not. She's a Rat Princess. Anyway. There's so many girls in Emma's level that they made the Rat Princesses and the Red Soldiers on point. So she still gets to do her first role on point,
yeah,
which is a big deal. And it might be even more of a challenge because she has to do it with that rat head on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so maybe, I told Emma that maybe Miss Monroe put Emma in that position to be maybe a leader of, you know, the other girls. Or anyway, she, both her and I are getting over it. And she's excited about the role. She's excited that she just gets to dance in it, because there's only four little girls in the city that can dance as a rep princess in the Nutcracker.
That's true.
So we're enjoying it. I'm already starting to sell tickets because I am a crazy Nutcracker ticket seller, and I am proud. I've been the top seller for the past, well, in the top five. Somebody is not getting Oreo.
I know. What is up with our children and their responsibilities here?
Poor Oreo. He's outside and he's barking and barking and barking to come in, but apparently nobody's getting him. Anyway.
Okay. He'll be okay.
I'm one of the top five sellers, and I have been for the past 3 years. And it's pretty cool because the other four top sellers every year are always the Claras. And then there's mine and Emma's name. So it's pretty cool. We're very consistent. I don't sell a lot of tickets to get that recognition. I sell a lot of tickets because the girls work, or the whole ballet company works so hard to put on a good show. And it's so, so sad when there's so many seats empty.
Yeah.
So that's why I just tried to spread the word, get people to the show, get them to see our girls and enjoy their dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it.
Cool. And I remember that night when Emma came home and she was just devastated and crying. And so, of course, I know this sounds terrible, but I love it when she's crying because she's so adorable as a crying girl. And, you know, of course, I swooped in and I hugged her and let her cry. But we had a teachable moment there with her not getting the role she wanted and actually getting the role she wanted the least. And so the teachable moment being, you know, she could have a bad attitude about the role she was given and cast into, or she could have a great attitude and be the best rat princess the show has ever had and let that example be an example for other people to follow as far as giving their best and enjoying what they do. Because, you know, not everybody gets a chance to be a rat princess in the Nutcracker Ballet. And that was something Emma and I talked about in the last episode she and I did, was that, you know, we're fortunate to live in a city where there's a community ballet, and girls her age do have an opportunity to dance in a professional quality performance.
Yeah, because somewhere else we wouldn't get that opportunity. Yeah.
If we'd moved anywhere else, I don't think she would have had that chance. Not to the scope and scale that we're talking about. I mean, it's not like a small theater we're talking, or in a gym or a cafeteria. She's performing in Selena Auditorium at the American Bank Center that seats, what, 2,700 people?
Yeah.
And so, like, I know you mentioned that it's sad to see so many empty seats, but there are easily 1,000 to 1,500 seats that are filled in every showing or every performance of the Nutcracker, which is still pretty amazing for a girl at 11 years old to have performed, what, three times in the Nutcracker?
No, this is her fifth year.
Really?
Yeah, she was.
It's Angel, Mouse, Party Girl.
Blue Soldier.
Oh, yeah. So this is year number five. Okay. So, you know, 4 years in a row, and this is the fifth year, but she already has, what, four performances per year times 4 years, 16 performances in front of crowds of 1,000 or more. How many 11-year-old girls can have that kind of, and I'm not even counting the spring shows that she's done, but I mean, how many girls can say that they've performed in that type of arena?
Yeah, not many.
Yeah. So I'm really proud of her for getting a role. And the company was really big about letting the girls know, hey, be glad that you got into a role, because I'm assuming that maybe they turned some people away.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never known them to, but, you know, in a bigger city, I think our chances would have been a lot less of having Emma in that many shows at this age.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a tough week, but Emma's feeling a lot better about it. I'm feeling a lot better about it. I was encouraged by all my friends at the studio, and I can sleep again. Oh my goodness. I am going to promise myself and my family not to be so crazy next year, because it's not worth it.
Whatever.
It is really not worth it. I really hope that I can just let it go next year, because, you know, I was like 98% sure that she was going to be a Polly Chanel. So all that worrying, all that those sleepless nights just to be, you know, really disappointed, you know, it wasn't worth it. And, you know, one of the biggest lessons that they teach us at church and Bible studies and everywhere is to just give God all our worries and our, you know, our anxieties, and he knows what he's doing. And so I should have just given it to him. I never thought of doing that. When I was sleepless and just nervous and everything, just give it to God, because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what role Emma needs. He knows what role I need. And now I'm going to be the rat mom.
Yes.
So,
how many people get to say they're a rat mom?
I get to be involved. That just entails like, keeping the girls, together and chaperoning during rehearsals. So I get to do a lot of backstage. It's so cool just to see the production from behind the curtains, because I can take my camera. I can get some behind the scenes shots. It's really, really awesome. It's going to be a great year. So we're looking forward to it. So if you're in Corpus and you're hearing this, please contact Jerry or myself to buy some tickets, and they're discounted too.
Yeah. And I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can get in touch with me. And then from there, I'll get you in touch with Olivia on the details of how to purchase those tickets. And when you buy them from a parent who has a child in the show, you actually save, it's not a whole lot, I mean, it's just a few bucks, but you're actually saving the Ticketmaster fee that you would acquire. So, I mean, you could still go through Ticketmaster, but, you know, they have to charge you. But if you get it through a cast member, you save that fee.
So. And it's supporting us. We have goals to meet, and
yeah.
Well, I'll for sure make my goal, but anyway, cool. We should probably move on from Nutcracker.
All right, cool. Well, I was excited on Friday, just this past week, speaking for Emma's Bible Club at Caffey.
Oh yeah, that was a great thing this week.
That also was really cool. And I wasn't like seeking it out. I wasn't like dropping hints like, hey, by the way, if you need any speakers for your Bible Club, I'm free and available.
I like the voice.
Yeah, because that's my solicitation voice. Hey, everybody, download my book, Strength Revisited. It just got even dorkier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just plugged yourself.
I did. That was pretty cool. That was like making fun of myself and plugging my ebook that I give away for free. So, yeah, it just started off with episode, I think, 25 with Emma and I. And Emma did that like list of shout outs to her teachers. And I just thought, you know, it'd be kind of neat if these teachers knew that Emma just did a shout out to them on a podcast. So I sent it to all of her teachers, to her principal, to get it to some teachers I couldn't reach. And some of the teachers replied back, hey, that's really cool. It's neat that you do this with your family. I love the interaction between you and your kids. And then one of those teachers, Miss Kirkpatrick, actually emailed me and asked if I'd be willing to share my story or just share with the students at the Bible Club. And so she passed me on to the lady who sponsors it, Miss Garza. And before we knew it, I was booked to speak to about, 36 kids?
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah. You know, I have to give a shout out to Emma's teacher and all the administration at Caffey, because it is so neat that, you know, there's so many, you know, teachers that are supportive and they're believers. You know, they're Christians, or, you know, they just faith followers, and mm-hmm. you know, just to be surrounded by people like that, and it just gives me comfort. Like when we went to the prayer at the pole,
yeah.
And after the prayer, we opened our eyes, and the principal was there, and a whole bunch of teachers, and you know, a small group of students. But it was just—it's really neat to know that our children are covered in prayer, and you know, yeah. just that kind of support and encouragement.
And they do it appropriately too. Like they don't—I mean, they do it at the right time of day. You know, it's not done in a way that I think, you know, puts pressure on other people who aren't believers that they have to do this, but it's made available and it's supported in that respect. And I really like that. And so, yeah, it was really neat to share that story of, you know, finding heaven while unleashing hell. And, that's where that kid came forward and asked me if we had bulletproof vests when I fought in World War I.
old.
And he was serious. So I just thought, okay, I can't wait till you get to that part of history and realize I'm not old enough to be a veteran of that war. But so that was really neat. So, yeah, they asked me, and I felt blessed and honored to be able to be a part of that. And got choked up, as always. I just I'm always amazed at when I tell that story. And the few times I've told that story, just how, you know, different parts of our lives have just clicked into place. And, you know, I share there how, you know, I did say a prayer. I wasn't a believer yet in Operation Iraqi Freedom, but you know, I did say a prayer that, you know, it was just sort of like, God, if you're out there, if you're real, then you need to replace me with somebody after I die who will take care of my family, who, you know, treat my children as if they were his own and love Olivia the way that she deserves to be loved, and lifted up. And, you know, a couple months later, I'm flying home thinking, man, God, you did. You must not be real. You didn't live up to that part of the bargain. And, you know, you brought me home instead. And not really thinking about like me being a new creation in Christ and being my own replacement. And then when we got back together that, you know, that night of the homecoming, and you're sharing with me that you prayed every single day I was gone, and you practically made a deal with God that if he brought me home safely, that you would do whatever you could to get us to go to church. And, you know, from there, you know, it's up to him. And I just thought, wow, okay, so I'm where I am today and I'm who I am today because, you know, a woman I love so much was on the other side of the globe praying for me and making a deal with God that she would drag me to church if I came home alive. And so I thought, you know, now I can tell the story without crying, right? But you put me in front of people like at the Bay Area Fellowship Men's Conference where I spoke middle of 2013, and you know, these students just last week, and I was just blubbering, in a good way.
You did well.
Thank you. So that was fun. Nice prezi too that I made with that.
Hey, are we going to get to questions, or are we just going to talk?
Yeah, let's do some questions. That's the that is kind of the gist of the show, the Q&A part. We should put that in there, huh? So do you want to go first?
Sure.
You don't have a question, do you?
No, I do. It's super easy.
Okay.
What's How your was your first week at your new job?
Oh, gosh, how was my first week there? You know, I think the biggest adjustment for me, which was a good thing, in my old job, I worked 4 10s. So I worked Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. And every weekend was a 3-day weekend at least. And so I love that. And so I'm a little sad that the weekends go by very quickly now, you know, just Saturday, Sunday, and then Friday night. But now from 7:30 a.m. till 4, the evenings throughout the day, the regular weekdays, you know, they seem longer now in a good way. Like there's more time to sit and relax with Jacob, more time to prepare dinner on Mondays and Wednesdays when you and Emma are out to ballet. Like, I feel like with the new job, I could be more of a family man. And you know, there's the slight pay increase is awesome. I love that. You know, the benefits are a little bit better. The opportunity for growth professionally as an educator, public speaker, instructional designer. I'm trying to talk like Derek from Big Brother. So the hand gestures. anyway, so all those are good too. But I think the biggest thing I love about the job is that I get to come home at 4 o'clock every day.
And I love that too. And the kids love it. Like almost as soon as we get home from school now, you're walking in and Emma's like, "Yay, Daddy!" Yeah. You don't hear her when you're on the other side of the door, but and it.
Well, they were kind of worried the first day, like, "Why are you home so early? Did you lose your job?"
It certainly takes a load off of me too when you know after school, and especially now that Jacob's in baseball, you know, you can take him to practice without having to rush home and or him being late or you getting off early and having to go in super early.
Yeah,
it really helps.
Yeah, and before this, I mean, you would have to be like super mom, drop Jacob off at practice, hope that everything, like there is an actual baseball practice, then rush Emma to ballet, make sure she got there on time. And then I would show up to baseball practice while it was in progress and then plug in from there. But yeah, I mean, now I get to get home early, change, plug in with the family, and then do what we have to do. And
it's pretty cool because we've been able to talk too, because the kids are off doing their homework when you come home. Mm-hmm. And so it gives us a little bit of alone, quiet time. Whereas when you got off at 6, it was like, "All right, Jerry, if I even saw you at all."
Yeah. It would just go, 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 go.
Yeah. And be like, "All right, I'll see you tonight at 10 when we're tired and can't talk anymore."
And I think that's really important for us as a couple too, that, you know, when I do come home from work, and you're back from picking up the kids from school, that we have that time where we can reconnect with the door closed and just you and I, you know, And I think it is easier this time around that the kids are like swamped with like homework. So thank you, teachers of Kathy, who give our kids lots of homework. Keep it up, because it's great for Liv and I to reconnect after I get
home
from work.
Wait, actually not too much, because sometimes it's a little bit hard.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit.
I think they do that on purpose to make sure your parents are plugging in with their kids and helping out.
Sometimes it's hard, especially for poor Jacob, like on base football game nights, because he doesn't come home from school. He has to stay there in the locker room until they leave on the bus, and they don't get back to the school till like 9:30.
Yeah,
and then that poor dude comes home and he still has to eat, shower, do homework. That's rough on him.
Yeah,
and Emma too, when she has dance nights, she gets out at 8 on both nights.
Yeah,
and so she don't ask for more homework.
Okay, not more homework, but thank you for the homework you do assign, because it does give Liv and I that chance to reconnect. That's my point. you know, the other night, Jacob and I were doing like some sort of algebra type problem, and I had forgotten how to do it. He didn't know how to do it. I asked him, well, what did you learn in class on how to do this problem? And he gave his classic answer.
Oh.
I don't know. And so, thank you to the Khan Academy, because we were able to look up the problem online. I don't even remember. It was like Y-intercept. Oh, yeah. Y-intercept form. And we were able to look that up on khanacademy.com. I'll put the link in the show notes for you other parents who have kids who are starting to do some higher level math. You don't know how to help them. Khanacademy.com. It's you can set up a free account. And it's like YouTube, but for math and science and a couple other subjects. So it's education based. Really awesome, high quality videos, all that good stuff. Okay, so man, you'd think I'd get paid for that kind of spot, but that's just us as parents helping you as parents. We already got like a couple of little family tips there, like plugging in 15-20 minutes after work at least. Just you and your spouse. And then the other thing, math, you can do math. KhanAcademy.com makes it special or achievable. Okay.
Do you have a question
for me? I do have a question for you.
What?
It's actually on this device.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was already playing with it. You're twirling around like a toy. My old phone, which is now like a tablet. Okay. So last week,
I
read a blog post from simplemarriage.net, Dr. Corey Allen, who's a PhD holder in marriage and family therapy, I believe. He wrote a blog post recently that he called Why You Should Never Say the D Word in Your Marriage, talking about treating divorce like it's a vulgar word. So how would you say that principle of leaving divorce out as an option in our marriage has impacted our own marriage?
That's my question?
That's your question.
Aw. That's not a fun question.
I
like funner questions. I'm like Jacob, but anyway, I'll answer it. Well, I can't really answer it because...
Funner question. Why is it not cool to make me cry by saying, that's it, divorce? No?
How would you say that principle of leaving divorce out as an option in our marriage has it impacted our own marriage?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's scratching on the door.
What? Our dog never scratches on the door.
Maybe he misses you.
He does.
Was it dog. Oreo or was it Emma?
I thought it was the dog.
Emma? Oreo? Maybe it's Eartha. Maybe she's... Let me see.
Okay. So I'll stall while you go and figure that out. Well, how cool is that? Like, strange scratching at the door. And what? It's not the man who got up with a baseball bat to check it out.
He doesn't even
want to
come in.
He doesn't? What?
Call him.
Oreo.
He thinks we're
going to
bathe him.
Oh. All that, and he runs away. So, anyway, yeah, it's Olivia who gets up and investigates.
You're the best wife ever. Because you're a sissy.
I'm a sissy.
And a scaredy cat. Okay.
I'm a scaredy cat. Okay, so why, how has, like, leaving divorce out as an option impacted our marriage?
Well, we learn how to work through things.
Yeah.
Because we know we're not going to get divorced, and so we have to stick together if we're going to be happy.
Yeah. And it's not really like a free license for us to be abusive to each other, I don't think. You really punched me. this is not something to joke about during Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month.
I'm not hitting you hard.
You're not. You're just playing around.
It's just bouncing off your belly.
Hey.
Okay, so
what? Okay, so yeah, it's not like free license to be abusive. Because I've heard some people say, yeah, divorce is not an option. We're going to be married forever. And somehow that's the excuse to be abusive to the other person. But I know for me, you know, leaving divorce out as an option. Here comes that dog. Leaving divorce out as an option really forces me to find resolution to our conflict. You know, it's like, I'm going to live with this woman for the rest of my life.
Oh, my. Think that?
Yeah, I'm going to live with you for the rest of my life.
No, like, do you, like, oh man, I'm going to live with this girl forever, so I better figure out a way to live with her.
Well, I don't say it that way. You know, like, even the tone of your thoughts, I guess, matter, but my thoughts. But anyway, so it's like, okay, I'm committed to live with Olivia for the rest of my life. And so I can go about this situation or this issue in a way that, you know, makes her miserable and despises me for the rest of our lives. Or I can go about this in a way that truly makes us stronger as a couple. So for me, that's what leaving divorce out as an option means is, you know, how to live our lives so that you still love me and love me even more and more strongly than when we started. Mm-hmm. So that, and I think that's the impact that leaving divorce out as an option has made for us.
Cool.
Yeah. You want to see how much time we've been going, huh?
How long?
25 whole minutes? 26. Yikes.
No, yikes. Let Oreo say something and then we'll say it.
What do you want to say for those who are listening? Whoa, he almost knocked me off the bed.
I'm holding you.
Okay, thank you. Oreo? No, no zombie attack, because then he freaks out.
I'm doing it so he can bark.
Okay, check this out. Oreo does not like zombies. Liv, go ahead and do the zombie thing. Oreo?
He's not barking. He's just jumping.
I know. Maybe when we're standing. What do you think?
No, it's okay.
No. Okay. He was freaking out, though. Like, he was jumping up, scratching me at the arm, and like...
Get away from him. Like, get away.
Like, come on, dude, you dummy. Get up out of the bed. Okay. You have Dice with Friends on.
I'm not playing. It's a notification. Mm-hmm. Hello, it's under the clothes.
Just like Jacob.
Stop it, Jerry.
Clash of Clans.
Tell them.
Okay. It was just a notification.
Oh, my gosh. It's under the clothes.
Yeah, that's why your hand is on the device playing. I'm just kidding. They would have heard all the rolling of the dice. Ah! Okay. So, yeah.
What's wrong?
I guess this is where we close out, right?
Why? Because you're done talking?
Well, are you done talking?
I'm done.
You're done? Okay. Yeah. So then we're just being silly and goofy. All right. So, well, thank you for listening to episode 31 of Family Time Q&A podcast. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So check out Twitter, #DVAM. Support your local battered women's shelter, wherever you may be, the domestic violence hotline, because they do help, you know, victims who are being abused, who are not, you know, experiencing marriage the way that it should be experienced, or not experience a dating relationship the way that it should be. And, you know, while we're at it, let's support batterers intervention and primary prevention efforts around the country. And so that we don't have people who are being abusive in the first place. So we hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and that if there's anything you want to share with us, feel free to make a comment on therealjerrydugan.com or email us at jerrysdugan@gmail.com. Thank you much. God bless. And good night.
Bye.